that consistency that we're searching for in players, we're trying to establish within ourselves. And I think that over my time and growth as a coach, it's establishing more consistency in the things that we can do, because that's going to breed consistency within our players.
To be honest, I don't know what the remedy is in regards to strikes and walks. I know that accountability is huge for myself. I do demand a lot. I believe in discipline. Like Nate says, I'm a big believer in the consistency aspect. We're consistent in what our message is and the simplicity of it. They can understand what direction they need to go.
You're dialed in to the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, connecting our coaches with some of the best baseball minds in our game. Now here's your host, Jeremy Schiedinger.
We are broadcasting live from the ABCA National Office here in Greensboro, North Carolina, and we appreciate each of you giving us a call and joining this terrific conversation today. We work to connect each of you with the very best baseball minds in our game, pull their insight out, and get it on this podcast for you. You can use it to challenge yourself as a coach or advance your knowledge on every single aspect and fundamental of the game and take it straight to your players, enhance their development and their growth. And today's show is a pitching coach's dream of a podcast, and we're going to dive in that in just 1 second. But as always with our main Calls from the Clubhouse show, we love to thank our proud sponsor of this show, AstroTurf, the leaders in the clubhouse for the turf industry. So if you're listening into this episode and you're thinking about renovating your facility, maybe adding in the no-grow, no-mow, no-H2O solution to your field surface, make sure to call our great friends over at AstroTurf first. See how they can help take your facility to brand new levels. Now, there are terrific baseball coaches worldwide and inside the ABCA, and how about two of the very best pitching coaches in college baseball are stationed an hour away from one another? Deep in the heart of the state of Oregon, we have on the show today assistant coach at the University of Oregon, Jason Dietrich, and also the assistant coach at Oregon State University, Nate Yeske, and we allow them to pull back the curtain on their pitching staffs, their personal approaches to developing arms, and inside the success that each of these men have had over the years. Now, both of our guests have been recognized nationally within the past two seasons as quote-unquote pitching coaches of the year by various groups, and it's been evident that both Jason and Nate are special teachers and developers, with each one leading the nation in ERA each of the past two seasons respectively, as well as grooming countless arms for professional baseball throughout their careers. And we work to open up each guy into their plans inside of practice, meetings, bullpens, what it looks like inside their bullpens, but also discussing their growth as pitching coaches and how much their perspective has changed over the years. This is a fastball on the black episode for pitching coaches across every single level of the game as we talk with the assistant coach at Oregon State, Nate Yeske, and also Oregon assistant coach Jason Dietrich, both join today's Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, and this great interview, guys, is coming at you right now. Welcome back to the show, coaches, and I want you to look at today's episode as a well-executed slider down in the dirt with a great swing and miss right over the top for strike three to end the inning. That's what we're looking at with today's show when you round up two of the very best pitching coaches in all of college baseball and get them on today's show. And we're going to work to open up the insight into what they're doing inside their programs, how they're going about teaching and developing arms, and obviously how they're having so much success on the mound. And we want to kick this thing off and welcome in a first-time caller, but a long-time listener, the assistant coach over at the University of Oregon, Jason Dietrich. Jason, thanks for being on the call with us tonight.
Jeez, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to talking some pitching and hearing what Coach Yeske has to say also.
That's it, absolutely. And we also want to welcome in a crusty veteran to the Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. For those loyal listeners out there, this is Nate Yeske's second time on the show. He was on episode one. He helped kick this thing off and get it rolling downhill. And Nate, we want to welcome you back to the show tonight.
Thanks for having me, Sheets. Looking forward to breaking it down a little bit with you guys.
It's going to be fun, and I'm certainly excited to get both of you on the show and talk through just what you're doing and get the inner details, kind of pull back the curtain on what's going on inside your bullpen sessions with your guys. But where we want to start, and we always do this when we get loyal and proud ABCA members, we want to start with your experience with the American Baseball Coaches Association, whether that's coming to convention or the networking that goes on or just being a loyal member. And Nate, I'm going to let you kick this one off for us. Talk to us about your ABCA experience over the years.
It's been wonderful. Certainly a chance to sit down, and you can walk down to breakfast early in the morning or you can go out and get a soda from the vending machine late at night, and you'll see a conversation in just about every corner of the hotel. Some guys will be up going through some type of dry swings, or somebody's going to be doing some type of pitching mechanics. So there's certainly really a lot of things going on for anybody that's a baseball fan. And when you get a chance to sit and listen to the individuals that speak at the ABCA year in and year out, you're going to come away with more than just something. There's going to be some things that really make you rethink the way that you're doing things and how you can make some improvements in those areas. And there's going to be some things that might be revealed to you to give you some perspective on how you might add a different element to your practice plans or just your day-to-day routine. So it's really something I think that's unique about our sport, because it transcends a lot of levels. You can get little league coaches all the way up to big league coaches and anybody in between. And it's certainly neat to see how far it reaches out, and you get guys coming in from different countries. So it's pretty comprehensive on many, many levels. It's been great for my development as well as our players, because I feel like I always bring something back that helps benefit each of them.
Outstanding. Jason, same question. When you think back about your ABCA experience, maybe in a convention, I know we got a chance to meet last year at the show. Talk about what ABCA has meant to you over the course of your career.
I just want to mimic what Nate says. It's so true. There's so many things you can take away from it. I think the coaching convention is unbelievable. You can get so much stuff from it. Like you're saying, you're running and meeting people. You know, everything there just has so much to offer. And as a coach, I feel, you know, I know myself, I'm going there to want to talk to anybody that wants to talk baseball, because you're trying, like Nate says, you're trying to get more information to help you grow as a coach. How can you help your team? ABCA provides that. You know, you guys, what you're doing nowadays with your little barnstormers, I forget what it is, you're everywhere, and it's an opportunity just to listen to other people talk, and then you guys are, you know, the emails you send out and all. I mean, it's just baseball for baseball lovers. That's just stuff that we need to continuously delve into and grow and get better and refine things, add things, hear different viewpoints, philosophies. So for myself, I've been very lucky throughout the years, you know, to hear so many great people, to meet great people too in the baseball world. And that's what it's all about, is continuously growing and learning and getting better.
That's right. Well, we appreciate that. I think we are doing a lot more to get more content out. Obviously, the podcast, we do the online chats, we do the Barnstormers Clinics, the Inside Pitch magazine, the weekly press box emails, all those things that we do to kind of get to our coaches. And we appreciate you guys echoing those sentiments. Now, we got to start from a common place, and so I think it's great to always kind of go back through your career, bring us all up to speed. That brings us right now where you guys are taking a break from the area code games to sit and talk with us tonight. But Jason, I want you to kick that off. Just talk us through your career in baseball and what led you to the pitching coach job there at the University of Oregon.
In regards to coaching, I started coaching, I think I just finished up my 18th year. I got done playing mid-20s. I went back to school to finish up my undergrad and missed a little bit of baseball, so I started coaching at high school. In California for a couple of years, where I got my master's degree, and from there I kind of did the climbing the ladder, so to speak, climbing the mountain. I went 5 years at two community colleges, 1 year at a Division II school, and then the last 10 years have been, you know, from UC Irvine to Cal State Fullerton to Oregon. So again, that's just about, you know, Nate knows, it's about working hard, you know, learning your craft, learning from people, especially going out recruiting, meeting people. So it's been a long journey, and I'm very appreciative and thankful to be where I'm at. And that journey, like I said, it's been a long, you know, hard grind, so to speak, but it's been fun. It's been a fun challenge, and, you know, I couldn't ask for anything more, and the opportunities that people gave me and the relationships I've built with not just coaches but with players, you know, throughout the years, it's been special. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's my 19th year. And again, just learning to get better and do the best I can to help be a part of, you know, Coach Horton's staff and help Oregon try to play some, you know, consistent baseball and try to be 56-6 or something like that. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's exactly where we go to, Nate. Talk us through that a little bit, but catch us up to speed on your career and obviously a great season this year, but just what led you there to Oregon State?
Yeah, when my playing days were finished, I went back to finish up my degree as well, and I was in the private sector working for an industrial uniform sales position, and I started coaching travel ball kids. A couple of friends of mine were coaching some kids in that area, and I missed the game. I wanted to get back and try to help kids. I grew up in the Midwest, and there wasn't a lot of resources for us to get out and do some things. So I was fortunate that when I was younger, my parents moved out west to create better opportunities. And so I saw the challenge that some of these kids and coaches were having, and I wanted to be a part of it at the lower levels. And then the bug to get back in the college game opened up at UNLV, and I got my foot in the door there. And a couple of years down the road, opportunity again opened up at Oregon State, and a chance to get in the Pac-12 and compete against some of the best coaches and players out there. Certainly was something that I was looking forward to, and just finished up my ninth year there now, and it's been really a unique journey on many different levels, both professionally and personally, and certainly wouldn't have been able to get where I am today without the sacrifices of those who have coached me, those who have supported me, and those who have made sacrifices themselves to give me an opportunity to really pursue my passion. And that's now my challenge, is to try to give back and hopefully provide a platform or perspective for kids and individuals that want to go on and pursue their dreams in the game of baseball.
Now, we're going to start this with Nate, because I think that's a good opportunity to kind of dive into your path, your growth as a pitching coach. And so when we look at what happened this year, as Jason referenced, fantastic season, ended up in the College World Series. Division I baseball pitching coach of the year, you know, led the nation with ERA at 1.93, 14 shutouts. It's a phenomenal season, but that's been going on for a number of years, especially under your leadership. And if we could, let's go back to those first few years getting out of pro ball and jumping in at UNLV. What kind of pitching coach were you then? And if, when you think back at who that young Coach Yeske was, how much has your perspective changed over the years and over your career?
Well, I think it's evolved. The game doesn't change, but people do. And you make a choice each day of how you want to make changes within the things that you're doing. And to kind of go back to what I mentioned earlier about being able to reach out and talk to people and get to learn more about what's going on through the ABCA and the convention was a platform that provided me some of those opportunities, but it's really such a network of individuals. We see each other on a regular basis, or at least a semi-regular basis, depending on what ballpark you're at. And a lot of conversations get opened up about, hey, what did you guys do this year? What'd you like? And you just become a real student of the game. It's funny how much when we're younger, we're in school and we're looking to get out and go play games. And then that gets reversed as we get into the coaching world. We're looking to learn as much as possible to assist us when our guys go back out and play games. So my younger years was really based a lot of listening and really trying to apply a lot of things on a broad-based scale. And what I found out as I've gotten older, that genius is in simplicity. And while we're out there looking to find some of the newest techniques, again, the game doesn't change a whole lot. How kids perceive the game, how they process it and digest it seems to change. So we really look to add a lot of just elements of consistency, because as coaches, that's what we're looking for. When we make a move into the bullpen and we want to bring a guy in, we're bringing him in with the expectations that he's going to perform at a level that we think is really what we need for that particular time. So that consistency that we're searching for in players, we're trying to establish within ourselves. And I think that over my time and growth as a coach, it's establishing more consistency in the things that we can do, because that's going to breed consistency within our players.
That's really good. Awesome. Thanks for opening that up. And Jason, obviously, through the course of your career, a lot of success on the field. Go back even a year before this previous one, Collegiate Baseball Pitching Coach of the Year in 16, led the country in ERA again, 2.22. Obviously, three times you guys led the country in strikeout to walk and fewest walks. That's obviously been a staple of your pitching staffs, has been strike throwers. And if you could, you weren't always that guy. When you started in coaching there on the lower levels, who were you as a pitching coach? And when you look back at your growth, what's your perspective say to you?
Well, you know, it's such a great thing. It's a good time to reflect, because sometimes, you know, as we continue to grow, I do my best to try to reflect after every year and see where I'm at and see what, you know, things I can get better at and what have you. So to reflect back, you know, 18, 19 years ago, you know, coming out and you're fresh out of pro ball and getting down to school, I think that's when I thought I had it figured out. I can fix every pitcher. I had all the answers to a certain degree, not in a cocky manner. It's just one of the things that you think, well, I've played pro ball, I get it. And then you seem to recognize that you can't assume anything, and you got to just take a step back and try to learn how to teach and how can you reach young minds. And I soon, you know, had some mistakes that helped me understand that, you know, that's how you have to grow as a coach, just like you tell your players. as learn from mistakes, so to speak. And that's what's kind of helped me evolve throughout the years, is continuously paying attention to, like Nate says, to opposing coaches, going to talk, hearing people at conventions. Or if you're at a ballpark and there's someone, you don't know or do know, I'll try to walk up and go, hey, man, this is who I am. And do you mind talking some pitching, or do you mind get a bite to eat later? I like to talk something, or talk even hitting guys. I like to pick any coach's brain so I can continuously learn. And so that's kind of, I've seen myself evolve through that and throughout the years. I don't know what the remedy is in regards to strikes and walks. I know that accountability is huge for myself. I do demand a lot. I believe in discipline. And try to paint the picture, communicating the best I can of why it's not, the freebie wars and not giving the free 90s and just being detailed about that. Like Nate says, I'm a big believer in the consistency aspect. We're consistent in what our message is and the simplicity of it. They can understand what direction they need to go. And that's where I've seen myself kind of continue to go over the last five years is, even probably before that, is the consistency aspect of learning, getting better, but sending my message. And sticking to my philosophy with the pitchers. And then, like I said, just keeping them accountable for everything that we believe as coaches to keep them doing and growing with, and be patient with the process. So kind of, it's an ongoing thing, but throughout those years, I feel like I've continuously tweaked a little bit. I've adjusted a little bit because of players nowadays. So you have to learn to adjust as a coach and get better too. So
that's great. And Jason, I want to come right back to you on this. If you could continue to talk about the discipline or specifics inside your pitching plan, but also for our listeners, outline your program's approach to pitching and how you go about developing arms on the mound.
Well, I think it's the foundation's laid on the first meeting of the year. When you first meet as a staff, you spell out expectation and goals. You talk about your own philosophy. Returning guys understand it because they've been around you. For me, it was only 1 year. New guys will get to understand who you are, and from there, the accountability starts. Then obviously you have your throwing program, so you implement the variables and constants you're looking for, make sure they're doing it, help them understand the progression they're doing. So it's the older guys, you want them when you get to the point, hopefully in time, if you're, at a program for a while, that routine kind of takes care of itself because you're showing them the steps of what it takes of every detail, like the throwing program. Then we'll have a bullpen session, talk the goals, what we're striving for. We'll have, what our goals are going to be for fall, inter-squad games. I give them evals, break it all down. As much as you can communicate everything, you're not overwhelming them, in my personal opinion, but you're giving them information so they can understand exactly what you believe. And they have to buy into it because you've seen it work as a coach, and you're giving them the information. And with that, that accountability is important because they don't go through the motions playing catch. They don't go through emotions in a drill. They don't go through emotions in a bullpen session. If they do, then they're politely asked to not participate that day and, come back with, focus and attitude and a good work ethic. And so with that, that's been one of my staples. And then when that happens and you get older guys that have been around you for a while, it pretty much takes care of itself. So they police everything, they monitor everything, they keep everyone accountable. And, if you're fortunate enough, you don't have to be on top of them as much, but your job is continuously educating, because you really think about it, you're talking about 15 to 17 possible pitchers in your staff. So
right.
As a pitching coach, you got to really do a good job of being a kind of psychologist too. You can't just have one message. You have a collective message, and you got to learn how to read each individual, on their own and who they are and how you reach them. I mean, you're doing your best to figure them out too, because you got to try to get the message to them on a consistent basis. And that's the fun challenge that I enjoy.
That's awesome. Nate, same question. If you could, just pull back the curtain a little bit and give us your approach, the absolutes, the standards that you talk about inside the Beaver bullpen.
Well, I'm generally pretty matter-of-fact with my guys from day one. We really challenge ourselves to establish what our culture is, what our ideals and our core values are going to be from year to year, because there are some that we feel are consistent, and there are some that must be adjusted based on year to year, whether you have a younger group, an older group, or a mix of them. Mm-hmm. And then I try to explain to them that my job is twofold. One is to kind of give you the answers to the test and give you some insight on how we do things so that you can perform at a better level and not have to be one of those guys that really learns from, I would call it, expensive experience. You don't have to learn through the school of hard knocks. Mm-hmm. And through that process, it's kind of a strange existence. It's almost like parenting. Your job is to make yourself less and less necessary so that those guys know what decisions are to be made on the fly. We don't get the luxury to sit behind them during a game like we do in a bullpen. So it's important to establish, you know, really what that culture is going to be and how you're going to go about your business on a daily basis. And the sooner that we can get those messages across, the sooner we can get into the nuts and bolts of what we do and what type of attitude we bring in on a daily basis to the practice field, to the weight room, to perhaps a team meeting. And it just becomes a way of life. And it becomes something that they will hopefully really take ownership of as a group. And that's when you get a chance to step back and see that, you know what, we've established these levels and these expectations, and our players really kind of abide by those things and hold themselves there. So again, being consistent with the message on a daily basis with what we're trying to accomplish is big. And it's like anything else in life, the more you can communicate those things to one another, the better I think that the two of you are going to tackle whatever that task may be. So there's strength in numbers. The more that we can get guys on the same page, the better that that's going to be. And ultimately, it's a day in and day out constant just awareness to what we need to be doing with the time that we have and the place that we are. Because when kids are young, you know, the mind can drift a little bit. You're shagging in the outfield. Some guys might be out there working some dry mechanics. Other guys might be thinking about what they're going to go have for dinner tomorrow night when their friends come to town. So keeping everybody on track and keeping them on the same page, I think, is paramount to the success of not only your particular unit, but the team altogether.
And Nate, I want to come back to you on this one, because we want to open up the inner workings of the practice plan and what it looks like from a communication standpoint of how you deal with your pitching staff. Also, give us some insight into what you guys do with technology and how you go about using that to develop arms within the Beaver pitching staff.
Well, I think it's a blend of different ways that you would interact with not only each individual, but with your unit in particular. Mm-hmm. There are times when we have to meet as a group. When we're done stretching, we'll talk just quick about what our bullet points are, what we might be doing in team defense, maybe an adjustment that we need to make if it's the fall with just regards to catch play, or hey, we've got a little adjustment in the schedule today, this is what we're going to be doing instead. Just again, give them the answers to the test, keep them moving in the right direction with some perspective. And then once we get in season, that might change depending on who we're going to play, how we're going to prepare for some of those teams, what their style of play might be like. And then, you know, it's very personal to me. It's guys that we address in a lot of one-on-one time. Not so big on the PowerPoints. I think it's more application, more hands-on. Kids are going to really be able to make adjustments more with them doing stuff. Okay. If there's a time to look at it and see it, yeah, there might be a day or two where we'll go through some stuff, but I want them to experience those things hands-on. I want them to get out there and get a feel for it. Is there a time to see some video on themselves? Absolutely. But ultimately, they have to live it every day, and they've got to be able to establish an awareness of what it is that they're trying to accomplish. So those things, I think, are more one-on-one related in my world. With social media, it's kind of easy to really give kids some examples here and there and to be able to kind of allow them to visualize things themselves. If you're sharing what a breaking ball might look like from an individual, or how a guy commands a fastball to a certain location, it's nice to be able to have those tools where you can shoot a text across to one of your guys and just give them an opportunity to take a look at it and say, this is really kind of what we're talking about. And it forces them to look at it a little bit differently too. But the more that you can really open up that line of communication again from a player, he knows that you care about him. He knows the time that you're investing in him. And I think that they're more readily acceptable to look at things from a different perspective.
That's really good. Jason, same question, man. Just how do you go about getting the expectations and the accountability in place inside your pitching staff, your meetings, your in-practice settings? How do you go about accomplishing that?
Well, I kind of stated earlier, you know, you have your meetings at the beginning and then during practice. You know, as everyone knows, the rules and how many days and how much time. So you really got to be efficient in kind of your message, so to speak. It's an ongoing thing, and you know, communication is huge. And, you know, I'm luckily and fortunate enough, before every practice, for the most part, I get 45 to 50 minutes to have with our 17 or 18, whatever pitchers we have. So it could be 5 minutes, it could be 10 minutes where I'm going to talk to them and go over some things specific for the day. And then if I have to, I'll walk around, collectively talk to individuals, you know, what they need to work on for the day. Or what I do also have, you know, bullpens. When I do have bullpens, I have every one of our pitchers text me 3 goals before they have their bullpen session, because I want them to, you know, not just be what they're told. I want them to be learners themselves, because they have to become their best pitching coach. So
sure.
I want to know what their goals are with the communication of what I'm trying to share with them and help them with. So that's the things that we kind of work on in practice. So again, it's a lot of stuff, but we, you know, like I said, it's just, it's not, I'm not trying to throw a million things at them, but it's just the attention and the time we get. It's important. Like, your practice is set up for certain reasons, team D, bunt D, or whatever you're doing, individual stuff. But, you know, when you have 45, 50 minutes a day to work on your craft, I'm pretty lucky, you know, to do that with the pitchers and get a lot of stuff in. Some guys may throw for 20 minutes and, you know, maybe 10 guys or 8 guys, and then they're working on doing, you know, the bunt D plays, you know, or doing picks, doing bunts, doing PFP work, going over signs, whatever it may be. So, again, you know, you're always working on things that are important to get them prepared. So when it comes time and game time, you feel like you've addressed everything, you put in the best scenario to succeed, and they've repped it enough. So, like I said, you're ready to go when the season starts. The rules are a little crazy, so that's why you got to try to get everything in the best you can, and hopefully have some good leaders to help do other stuff down the road.
That's right. I love the fact you made reference to your bullpens, and that's certainly what we want to walk right into this next question. If you could, Jason, talk us through your overall approach to how you attack bullpens with the Ducks.
Like I said, the bullpens is, I don't even know what their goals are for the day. And sometimes it's a one-on-one. Sometimes it's two guys going at once. So I do pay attention to what's going on and what they're obviously striving for.
Sure.
And it's very simple from the get-go. I believe in simple. We talk about philosophy beforehand, what our goals are as a staff, and so I just have them throw the ball down the plate at the knees and build some confidence and get a feel for the, you know, because I don't know, you know, again, you're talking about them at very beginning, first time off the mound, to a gradual progression. And when you explain your philosophy and your beliefs, you keep a whole staff accountable. And so when that happens, you're just trying to get them confidence to repeat something, and it's whether it's fastball changeup for 25 pitches or 30 pitches, then a progression, you know, in time to try to build up that arm strength and stamina and endurance. So that's kind of from a bullpen perspective, that's how simple we started.
Okay.
And in time, as our arms get stronger and we start growing, and some guys are a little different because some guys have a tough time throwing consistent strikes. So
sure.
I'm trying to challenge them to the importance of every little detail from your, you know, one pitch at a time, from your breath, from your tempo, all these things that were incorporated that you're trying to pay attention to as a coach. You know, sometimes the pen can be a little bit long. Sometimes it can be a good one where it's not as long because they're doing all those little details right and you're liking it, and you let them kind of run with their bullpen. So those are all the little things you try to pay attention to. I'm not a big believer in throwing a million things out, because I think sometimes that can get in the way with them. And, you know, you have young minds from different areas and different, you know, backgrounds, from pitching a lot to not pitching a lot to having success to being, you know, average success. So you're trying to get them to buy into that whole picture, and it takes time. It takes time for them to understand that and to work at it. And that's where, not just a bullpen session, but you're trying to do it every day in their catch play, their flat grounds, watching them, their breathing and their, you know, their wind-up routine to their stretch routine to every little thing. And that's what a bullpen session is for us. You know, it's a progression. And when we get to a certain point in fall, you know, then we might start working on their off speeds out of the strike zone, 0-2, 1-2 counts, you know, elevated fastballs if a guy can do it, you know, the high-level fastball. So there's a lot of things that it just takes time for us to get to that point, and I feel like they have to earn it, and if they earn it, they get a chance to go to the next thing, and that's working an outer half, maybe a little bit more off the plate, or that high-level fastball, or what have you. So just trying to challenge them to understand the importance of keeping it simple, try to get confidence, get a feel for the mechanics, and then time, we evolve to other things. So it's kind of, I don't know if that kind of covers things, but it just gives you an idea that it's not everything's thrown at them. If they don't have it, well, we'll go to the next guy. It's not that. There's a lot of, try not to have a lot of talk, but some guys need talk. Some guys don't need talk. So it's kind of a feel thing for me. It's kind of, you know, gradually,
yeah,
you know, getting to know the guys and kind of just watching, pay attention. And one last point is I have them all write down what they do for a bullpen session, so I can have an idea of where they're at. And then we work together to do the best we can to come up with their best routine and what their goals are for that day.
A little personal accountability inside your plan.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really good. Nate, same question, man. Take us inside a Beaver bullpen, and what's it look like or feel like or sound like inside what you guys are doing? The cues that you're throwing out, the things that you're talking about. How do you go about running the bullpen sessions?
Well, we've got our bullpen set up at our field behind the left field fence, and we've got kind of a tin roof because there's a hitting facility that's extended through the end of the bullpen. So it's nice for some of our guys. There's a lot of confidence builders with that thing echoing down there off the tin roof when they throw some fastballs. So it's nice for them to feel pretty good coming out of the chute with that. But typically we will itemize their workloads for them, and then I give them some freedom within that to give me some feedback before their bullpen starts with what they'd like to be working on, and I find out if we're on the same page. Sometimes they may have some good perspective or some good ideas of what they really feel like they might be struggling with, and it's nice to get that feedback because we may not see it at that particular time. You might feel that, okay, it's there, but it gives us some insight into the way that their mind is working. So we'll have some discussions before they get going. Their workload is itemized on our daily practice plan, which hangs down on a board by our bullpen. And we've got a plyo wall in there. So we might have some guys that are getting ready, throwing some plyo balls, getting themselves prepared for their throwing, while a couple other guys are going through some lower half or some upper half mechanics. We've got some other guys that might be doing some J bands. We've got a lot of stations that are hooked up down there. And so that it's really a workshop for many different things for our guys. The catchers are down there. They catch, they give a lot of feedback. We really encourage them to have a lot of discussions with our guys so that they can adjust on the fly during a game if that's necessary. If a guy happens to go out and he's dialed in and he's rocking and rolling, perfect. Generally, we'll take that guy and set him down. And a couple of them will look at you kind of strange, like, "Coach, I just threw 10 pitches and they're all right where I wanted. Why would you sit me down?" Well, if you just did that in the game, the inning's probably over with. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. Or you might see in our game, coaches try to slow the game down, give extra signs, something to disrupt their pattern. And the more that we can kind of create a game state where they might be a little bit uncomfortable or feel like they're being stressed into an uncomfortable state, those things are good because it simulates the game as much as possible when they get into that bullpen session. As far as the actual order of the bullpen, some guys may be more fastball oriented to a certain location because that's something, again, that they're trying to work on. We like to move the fastball around and do some different things with it, and then pair it with some pitches that have some good activity and some good action to those locations as well, so that we can hit both sides of the plate, we can hit the top of the zone, or we can expand through the bottom. And each guy really has to know who he is. So the more that they give us, again, feedback, and that's where generally on the backside of their bullpen, I'll give them freedom to pick one or two things specifically that they want to work on. And I give them the keys to the car and give them the steering wheel at that point and let them start driving on their own, because I can learn more from doing that rather than just giving them instruction of how to do it. And through that freedom, not only do they take ownership of it that way, but again, gives me more insight into how their mind works and where they might feel like they're pretty good. And if I'm, again, on the same page, great. If not, that lets me know how to really approach and attack that particular subject. And if they're doing something different, and we happen to be dialed in, perfect. Let's just continue to reinforce the positive. But we feel like we get a lot done down there. There's a lot of different things. Controlled chaos, if you will, with guys doing different things at different times.
Right.
But everybody generally has a plan, and that plan, we work it day in and day out. And then our more advanced guys, and I only say that because they tend to be guys who take ownership earlier in their career, will actually journal a lot of things from their bullpen. I know Andrew Moore and Matt Boyd were two kids for us that really were detail-oriented in everything that they did. And those guys, there's no, I think, mystery as to why they had success the way they did in our particular program and how that advanced them through the levels of baseball that they got through in the minor leagues and helped them get to the big leagues.
You know, Jason, I'd be remiss if I didn't come back to you on this one. Can you talk through what your bullpen setup looks like? Are you guys into J-bands or weighted balls? What are the inner workings inside the setup that you have there at the University of Oregon?
Yeah, we do the, you know, J-bands. Guys are doing that, and there's guys that do driveline stuff, and we're all big in, you know, I'm big in arm care with our trainer. So, yeah, like Nate says, there's it all depends on what, you know, when you get those bullpens going or other guys doing their other things. So key is getting them in a routine and knowing what their routine is and then identifying if they're starters and relievers or what have you. So the more they can get used to what they need to do to prepare themselves from a physical and mental standpoint to get on the mound is important because, you know, you're trying to get them to think about it. It could be they only get twice a week to get on the mound, let's just say.
Yeah.
And to me, that's, you know, that's their batting practice. They got to take pride in the two times they get on and they got to work hard to just really appreciate to be out there and all the work to put it on the side to get out there. So like I said, we have, you know, guys, J-bands, we just identify what the routine is so they can get prepared. How much do they throw? Everyone's different on how much they're throwing before they get on the mound and the flat ground work to get on the mound. And, you know, I try to be precise on if it's a set time that you're on, make sure you're there to be at that time. It depends if your bullpen's during batting practice or, you know, during the early parts of the practice or what have you, even before practice. So it's just, it's crazy because our time is limited and all that stuff. So you try to be as detailed and precise as possible to make sure everyone's doing what they need to do. But the routine's important. Yeah. Like, so there's J-bands, guys are doing, other guys have different stretches than others. Mm-hmm. They're collectively doing things. So yeah, there's a lot of things going on. Yeah. And like I said, our bullpen set up, we got strings to the bottom of the zone to the top of the zone. You know, we got standing dummies for guys that may have a tough time throwing the ball in or just for visual sake. You know, I think a lot of guys are visual learners, so you're trying to get them to understand the importance of, you know, especially like maybe some catchers are important, man, the feedback they give, their setup, are they setting up right, are they giving that good target, all the things that we're wanting as a coach, we got to make sure we identify it and explain it to make sure that, and when they're locked in, you know, and like, you know, Nate says, we out guys, you know, I'll tell them to stop too. Like, hey man, your breathing's not good. Where's your focal point? Where are you looking to get rid of the last two pitches? It should be pitch to pitch, but you're kind of, you know, so things that we believe you're trying to implement that they do in a bullpen session. So when it comes to game time, it's just positive, you know, positive stuff that they go out there, just positive routine. It's positive habits.
Absolutely.
And so when they do that, they've been there enough to the best of their capabilities. But we have guys running sprints to come back on the mound, heart rate's going. You know, hey man, get the next seven pitches and I want to see your breathing and how you can handle this and go pitch at a time and what have you. So you try to be creative in any way possible to get them to, you know, be game-like in their minds or what have you. That takes time, but that stuff, as you start implementing everything, it happens. But yeah, we have all our stuff going on in our bullpen too. There's a lot of stuff in there that guys are doing.
Sure. Nate, do you do any creative things in your bullpen? Oh, I love that. You're making guys run some sprints, get their heart rate elevated and make them control their breathing. Nate, are you doing anything like that?
Generally, I think just the guys that are there, because we stagger our bullpen sessions with, there might be two guys throwing while two guys are resting and just to stimulate innings, and we'll just let it be a free-for-all. A lot of times our hitters will be walking by in their BP rotations, and it's an open forum, and it's really almost like a the last comic standing. And that guy's standing up there throwing his bullpen, he's free reign for any type of comments that might come
sure.
from hitters, other pitchers, and it helps develop a little bit of that focus and really kind of thickens the skin up a little bit too, because those guys know you in and out and they try to press your buttons, and it's kind of funny. There's other times when I'll ask the catchers to just throw something in with a sign. Maybe it's an inside move, maybe it's a 31 move, and it helps keep guys engaged into what they're doing, again in the effort to make it seem like it's as much game related as possible. We don't get those luxuries that the hitters do to go every day and consistently take swings the way that they do. So it's important that our catch play be a reflection of our mound work and vice versa. So our guys need to know that those two things are being paired together on a daily basis. With the hitters that are standing in, sometimes they'll jump out of the cage and want to stand in and track. We do have some stand-in dummies that are in there that are nice. We'll flop those a few times, and whoever hits them the most, that ends up kind of being what we name it that year. He adopts that pitcher's name until he gets better at his command.
Sure.
So we try to keep it fun. We try to keep it competitive. But there are a lot of pieces that go to it, and we just try to identify which pieces we need to put together for each guy.
You know, as we've referenced before, both of you guys have had tremendous success on the mound. I mean, Nate, what you guys have done from the shutout perspective. Jason, your mantra throughout the years has been just developing strike throwers. And Nate, I want you to kick this one off. Are you into numbers or stats? Are there game goals or season goals that you guys talk about? And if you do, what are those numbers? But what are the purpose behind those numbers that you use to help develop your arms and guide your pitching staff?
No, we've never really gotten into the numbers because I think the numbers end up becoming a result or a reflection of what the process is. And the more ingrained that we can stay in winning the next pitch, I know that sounds cliche-ish, and it's, I think, become adopted by a lot of teams around the country. When you boil it down to the bone, it's really that simple. And I think too many times kids get caught up in the numbers, and then you're trying to reverse engineer it, and it doesn't work out the way that you want. If you're going in to set out goals, sure, you want to fill up the strike zone, but there is actually a time to throw the ball out of the zone, especially if a guy doesn't have a lot of play discipline.
Sure.
So really with each guy, you're changing some of the dynamics of what you're trying to focus on. But at the end of the day, we're professional target hitters. We have to hit the target when we pick the first or pick the second. You should be hitting the target when you're playing catch. And sometimes it's funny. You might try to call a pitch and it's not executed and it misses to the other side and the guy swings through it for strike three. I give my guys a hard time when they throw a bullpen because somebody always wants to finish on a strike or they want to throw a fastball
right
to a certain location. And my question to them is, do you tell the umpire that during the game? Hey, wait a minute, I want to finish on a fastball. Or, hey, I'd like to throw a breaking ball in the zone. You kind of have to live with what you're doing at that particular time. So back again to just the purpose of the numbers, I think, adds nothing more than perspective. But for our guys, it's attack the zone and continue to work in a quick and efficient manner that'll get our guys back in the dugout and get them closer to doing what they really want to do, and that's it.
That's it. There you go. Jason, same question, man. Take us inside what you guys talk about numbers-wise, game goals, season goals there with the Ducks.
Yeah, just to mimic what Nate says. It's not about numbers. Numbers are, you know, you can say, hey, like, you know, 14 pitches or less per inning would be great, and, you know, 3 pitches or less per hitter. You can talk all that stuff, and all I try to do after a game is break it down to show them, hey, look at, you know, we're efficient with the tempo we have and early strikes. You know, just try to break down the numbers in that aspect, not like, okay, we have to have, you know, X amount of strikeouts or nothing like that. It's just,
sure,
you know, then break up the numbers. Well, we walked 4 guys, 3 of those guys scored, or what have you, or we hit 2 guys and we gave up 5 hits on 0-2-1-2. So guys got to work hard. You know, that's the stuff I like to break down in regards to knowing what we talk about at the beginning of the year and then throughout the games or what have you. We just self-reflect on, you know, some things that we continue to got to work on as a staff. Some guys maybe more than others. But yeah, numbers, you know, like I said, sometimes you get data, like, you know, we get data from, you know, after the game, strike percentage, what have you, and usually you can show the quality of everything and let them know that, and the more they can understand, gosh, if I'm efficient in the zone, and if I get outs early, if I'm down in the zone, I can all those things, usually the percentages will show you that good things usually happen, but that's the stuff that we will use numbers for, not for, okay, well, we got to do this, and we had this ERA, none of that stuff. But I like to show them that when we do give freebies up, why did that guy score? And we kind of go through that so we learn as a staff to get better and, you know, how we can, you know, step up our game if we do give up a walk or there's an error or what have you, how we can, you know, finish an inning and not let something happen. So with that, you know, those goals are what's important to me, is picking up your teammates or picking up yourself or just, you know, like I said, staying committed, you know, to every pitch and learn to deal with adversity and all that stuff. So those are goals that you try to keep on doing. Numbers are something that, you know, I know we don't really talk about. I look at the end of the year to know how I can help guys get better in certain areas as I look at their numbers.
You know, we always think this is an important question when we talk about recruiting. I know for Jason in particular, coming from the Big West into the Pac-12, certainly your perspective has changed on the arms that you really need to compete inside the Pac-12. But for both of you, and Jason first, talk about what you're looking for when you're out on the recruiting trails, looking for guys that fit into your plan that you know will walk in and have success developing under your wing.
Well, I'm just going into my second year in the pack and kind of, you know, watching from afar and being in different conferences and seeing the quality arms that do come out of a lot of these programs. You pay attention as a coach to what you like and what you believe. And also, I think sometimes you can get a higher caliber guy that's, you know, good body, the arm works, it's clean, and, you know, there's going to be potential down the road. I like guys that are, you know, competitive, that want the ball, attack the strike zone. You know, there's conviction behind all the pitches. There's a lot of stuff that sounds great, but yeah, you really try to look for that. And then you follow these kids, and the crazy thing is they're getting kids commit younger and they still got to mature. So, you know, you see a young kid do that, it fires you up. And some kids will do it later, but you're still watching to see how they progress. But that's the stuff I like to look for in pitchers, you know. Obviously, command, can they command the fastball? If they do it decent, then they know. Then you do your homework, kind of aptitude does this kid have? What kind of makeup does he have? What's his character like? You know, you're talking to a lot of people to get answers that you want about certain guys, what you want to build in the pitching staff. And those are things that are important to me. Hard workers, you get after it, you know, take pride in everything he does. He's a, you know, gym rat, so to speak, and guy wants to win. And all those things are important. And seeing you guys compete out there, to me, that's huge. And sometimes, you know, if you're lucky to get, you know, if you sign a certain amount of guys, if you can get a good majority of them to go to school so they don't sign pro, then you're happy and excited to see what can happen throughout the years that you're with them. So that's the stuff I try to identify and go for. And, yeah, I mean, it sounds simple, strikers, but you'd be surprised, you know. Once in a while, the project's nice, but sometimes the projects can take a ton of your time, so to speak, and
yeah,
you maybe feel like you're neglecting certain guys and their growth, too. But again, you know, so our job is to help them as much as we can. So it's not all about just velocity.
And Nate, hopefully there's some meat on the bone with this question, but I'm interested when you're looking at guys that can come in and pitch for the Beavers, what are you specifically looking for when you're out there on the recruiting trails?
Well, I think anybody that's a baseball mind, when they show up to a park to watch somebody, that the baseball portion of it really kind of jumps out at you right away. And anybody that follows the game can see who the better players are, but it's our job to look beyond that. We're trying to look for kids who may be a reflection of our program and what our program's values are and what our program was built upon. And when you start looking at how those things are reflected from program to program, it's important that you find those guys that fit within your group dynamic, because there are certainly talented players everywhere, but it's important to find the right player to really identify with your coaching staff, your style of how you go about preparing guys, and really, and being competitive is a big element of that. You're going to have to win a lot of the battles and want to do and then challenge yourself in things that you don't enjoy doing. And I thought I saw something one time that said the weight room isn't for everybody, but neither is playing time or starting or anything right like that. And, you know, kids find through the recruiting process that there's, you know, certainly different things that resonate with them. Some guys are looking for certain things. Other programs are looking maybe for something different. So it's important that through that process, you really get an idea of what it is that you're getting into, because there are lots of good programs around the country. But by saying that, you have to find out which one of those works best for you. And for us, it's the same challenge. We're looking for kids that have a passion for the game, kids that really want to be challenged, and kids that want to not only improve themselves, but improve the quality of the people around them. Can they make other guys better? And so when you start going through your checklist of things that you feel are important for your program, if you feel like those guys are going to make you better, then I think those are the type of guys that we like to target.
So before we sign off, Coach Dietrich, I just want to ask you a quick question. As we talked through all this pitching information, there's got to be some young guy out there listening to this that I want to put all this into my program. But what advice would you have if there's a young pitching guy listening to this, Jason?
Just tell them to keep an open mind, have belief in themselves, to have a top-notch work ethic, to be passionate, and to, like I said, to learn what you're doing. You have to believe in what you're doing, and you have to, you know, go out there and network and get to know people, and really, you know, if there's people you respect, reach out to them via email or a call, or if you can get their phone number, and just go for it. And just like I said, just, you have to be patient with the process. Don't ever assume as a coach. Sometimes you assume, well, these guys will know it. Break everything down to the furthest detail, and then, you know, communicate to your best capabilities and believe, you know, exactly, and stick to your philosophy. And sometimes it may change in time, but stick to your philosophy, and again, be who you are. And again, if you, the players know if you're in it for the right reason, you care, and you're working hard. I firmly believe they're going to run through a wall for you. But as a young coach, man, you know, don't lose that passion and keep working and learning and keep an open mind, man. You'd be surprised that, you know, how much you can continuously grow and get better. And that's what I think the name of the game is ongoing adjusting and growing and learning from everybody.
Love that. Nate, anything to add to that question?
Well, I think for young coaches out there that are looking to maybe advance their knowledge in the game or even just their position, this game takes a long time, and it humbles you more often than not. If your desire is to move up the ranks in the coaching world, you got to be ready to travel, but you also got to be ready to be humbled. There are going to be challenges that are going to try to deter you from, you know, the course that you're on and whatever your focus may be, and those are learning opportunities. You either win or you learn is the way that I tend to look at it. And for me, I did a lot of learning, and through that process, you know, you start to find that you listen a lot more. And the more that you can get yourself involved with either people or teams or events like the ABCA convention or even podcasts, I listen to ones that you put out on hitters, because my job is to figure out what the hitters are doing these days.
That's right.
So you've got to become a real learner and a real listener in our game, and hopefully in an effort that you can become a conduit of information for your players and be able to access those guys. Unfortunately, you're not going to fix them all immediately, because you're talking about battling, in some cases, 15, 16 years of DNA of what their movement patterns have been like, and just giving them some verbal instruction for a couple of weeks. If they don't get it, don't get frustrated. They're going to get it in time, and that's why you continue to work that process together. But there are many different things out there. There are all kinds of stuff, and I think it's important to educate yourself in as many of those areas as you can, because what works for one guy might not work for the next, and it's important to really kind of find out that from that buffet of options, which ones are best suited for your plate.
And gentlemen, I appreciate both you guys taking time out of the recruiting schedule. You're both out hitting the area code games, and you took time away to sit down with us and jump on our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast and get this great pitching information out for all of our loyal listeners out there to help develop and grow themselves and improve their programs, connecting with two of the very best inside our game. So thanks for being on the show tonight. We wish you and your guys the very best, and we look forward to catching up with you all again very soon. Thanks again.
Yeah, it was certainly a pleasure to sit down and be able to talk some more baseball with you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Now, again, thank you for having us. It's always a great honor. Learn and hopefully give back, but you know, thanks again for taking the time, too.
Now, that's two terrific baseball men and impressive developers of strike throwers on the bump. Love to hear guys who are ultra-successful talk about simplicity, consistency, the importance of communication, and the role it plays in development, plus just some awesome advice for any coach listening to the show. Huge thanks to Nate Yeske from Oregon State and Jason Dietrich from Oregon joining our show and opening up their approach to developing arms on the mound. Great stuff, guys. We wish you and your clubs the very best as you go walking into fall practice. And another huge thanks to our great friends over at AstroTurf, the leaders in the clubhouse for the turf industry. We appreciate their support of our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. And if you want more information, just head over to their website, astroturf.com. That's astroturf.com. Find out why they've been ahead of the curve for almost 50 years. And for those of you cluing in for the first time or maybe for the 46th time, here's the quick rundown. Number one, head over to iTunes or Google Play, guys. Subscribe to the show. Hit that button. It'll show up on your phone every time we put a brand new show out. You can also, number two, stay plugged into our website, abca.org. Education tab at the top is your friend. You click on that, Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. We'll be waiting there for you. Click on that and scroll through those shows. Or number three, just give us a follow on Twitter at ABCA1945. You'll always see the release of the show. We'll pull some of the best quotes throughout to make sure you never miss one of our podcasts. Now, along with this show, we look ahead to Monday, August 21st, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want to make sure you're on Twitter. You can connect on our next hashtag ABCA chat. This is a platform where coaches from all over the world check in. There's engagement, there's networking, we're connecting with one another, but we're also sharing our coaching info and our insight. And this is going to be relative to developing pitchers. You can add your own information in, guys, talk about what you've been teaching, but more importantly, you're challenging what you're doing through all the other insight that's being shared. It's only for an hour. It'll be well worth your time. And again, Monday, August 21st, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We hope to see you check in on our next hashtag ABCA chat on Twitter. As always, make sure you're following us on there at ABCA1945. You can find me on there as well at Coach Sheets 3, or you can reach me directly by email Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S, at ABCA.org. Love the feedback that comes in, guys. You're reaching out to us, letting us know how these shows are hitting you, the content, the guest, and how you're working to develop yourself as a baseball coach, which is certainly going to influence your players, guys, and we appreciate you doing that. Keep sending that feedback over to us. And hopefully all of you saw the activity over the weekend on our Twitter account talking about our ABCA Barnstormers Clinics. We just finished off our first weekend at Iowa Western Community College in Council Bluffs, Iowa, and also South Dakota State University, Brookings, South Dakota. Our first weekend's in the books, but we've got 9 more weekends that we're looking to reach as many coaches as we can with these one-day coaching clinics where we bring the area's best teaching professionals to you and give you a chance to learn and grow and network within your community. It's all in an effort to educate coaches and grow the game of baseball. If you want more information, go to our website, abca.org/clinics, and you'll see more information on our upcoming Barnstormers Clinics Tour this fall. And lastly, as always, this is the podcast for the American Baseball Coaches Association. Brand new membership year getting ready to start up, guys. We had over 8,000 coaches join us last year. We're hoping to blow that number out of the water this year. Again, clue into our website if you want more information about our membership benefits and all the great things we're doing for our coaches, but also for the game. And as always, guys, thank you for listening into the show. We truly appreciate that. You're staying dialed into this podcast, its content, and our great guests. And until next week, just keep growing, keep developing, keep challenging what you're teaching and what you're doing inside this game. We wish you and your club the very best, and thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball.